big mistake. Big, huge. Famous words from Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, and they describe something in the sports universe this weekend as it relates to me recording this on Friday around lunchtime, about 1 p.m. Eastern time on Friday, September 26th, also the birthday of the director of golf of West Chase Golf Club, who has always done so much for me. He's talking about retirement, and I know he's going to do it. I will miss him when he does do it. Happy birthday, Daryl. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Brandon Legal Group hopes you never need legal assistance, but in the case you do, they are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. They can offer you a free consult by calling 813-902-3576, or you can simply request one easily online at brandonlegalgroup.com. Speaking of golf clubs, West Chase Golf Club will host my holiday tournament in December, Plantation Palms Golf Club, with general manager Jesse Pratt capably at the helm there, is coming up in a little over 2 weeks. Plantation Palms Golf Club is open to the public. Public tee times are available at plantationpalms.net. My event is sold out to most of my regulars, with the addition of a couple of new tour partners, Lithium Battery Power and Heads and Tails, which is a boutique sports apparel and gift shop on West Kennedy in Tampa. Plantation Palms Golf Club has a little bit of something for everyone. And again, they are not private. They're not even private to the Plantation Palms community that surrounds them. You can play the Par 72 Championship course. You can take your family to the mini golf. You can use the lighted driving range practice facility. You can enjoy Mulligan's Pub, food and beverage. You can book a private event in the same private dining room that my players will use for lunch and prizes at Todd Wright Tour 52. Visit plantationpalms.net for more information. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Every couple of years, people who like me, people who know me, people I like, make a huge mistake about where my attention is on a particular weekend. That weekend is this weekend. They think I have interest in the Ryder Cup. Big mistake, big, huge. So let me just explain why I have complete apathy toward the Ryder Cup. I've looked up various words to describe how I feel about it, and apathy seems the best one. The first is the time of year. I think we're either at, or we should be, a point where if you consider yourself a significant sports entity, why would you do anything if you can avoid it on weekends during the football season? Especially the weekends where you have college football throughout Saturday, the NFL throughout Sunday. There's enough evidence out there to show how much of an audience is attracted to football weekends in the fall and into the early winter that should dissuade any sports entities in the United States from doing anything on Saturday or Sundays in September, October, November, into early December. Then the college football season, the regular season, and the few conference title games. Then it opens up a little bit on Saturdays. The NFL then plays a few games on Saturdays, and then you get into the whole college football playoff. But at least for September, October, Thanksgiving, December, and you see how the NFL has basically said to the NBA, yeah, we'll take Christmas too. All or part of December, especially with traditional bowl games, and I still am of the belief, can we wrap this up with a college football playoff? Dan Lanning feels this way, the Oregon head coach. Why are we skipping Saturdays for the college football playoff? Can't we just go the Saturday after the college football title games? Can't we play the first round? And then the next Saturday after that, we play the next round. And then we get in the semis and get it done by on or around January 1, where the Rose Bowl's even like, yeah, that's where we're going to play. We don't want to be a title game. We don't want to be a semifinal. Final, that's fine. So those months are dominated in the United States by people watching football, people watching meaningful football games. Not all games are meaningful. We're going to get to a point in conservatively in December where a number of pro teams games don't matter. In November with a number of college teams don't matter. You already have three Power Four firings in college football that also open the portal for 30 days at UCLA, Virginia Tech, and Oklahoma State. We'll probably have another firing or two in the next week. So it's not just golf that has this supposedly big team event every 2 years in the fall going up against a football weekend. Hockey is getting ready to start. The NBA is getting ready to start. What are you doing? The football audience continues to grow. Why would you continue, just because this is what we've always done, go up against that? So that's one of the reasons. I'll even take it a step further. I get these surveys regularly from WWE. I've been getting them for many years. I agreed to get them. Did you watch the last, it's not a pay-per-view anymore, but sort of major event? Did you watch it? How much of it did you watch? What did you like? What didn't you like? Or why didn't you watch? And for years, I've responded to those surveys from about SummerSlam to Royal Rumble saying, no, I didn't watch. I don't watch during football season. I'm not interested. You fill my calendar from Royal Rumble to SummerSlam because I don't have football to watch. That's the role you have for me from an entertainment standpoint. So the Ryder Cup going up against football, I don't, this weekend, in addition to what I will do in my own life, and I stopped sitting around or planning my life around football all day, all night Saturday, football all day, all night Sunday. I don't. I'm active. I get out of the house. I play golf. I go to the gym. I meet friends. I enjoy watching the games in prime time, but that's still my focus. This weekend, my only sports focus, it's not my only life focus, is college football on Saturday and the NFL on Sunday. And I do love golf. I love every aspect of golf. The Ryder Cup doesn't fit my calendar. That's one of the issues here. Much like I had an awkward moment with a friend of a great friend a few years ago who asked me in late October or early November a hockey-related question, kind of out of nowhere in the middle of an on-air football segment. And I basically said, yeah, talk to me in January. So in the same vein where I say to the United States Golf Association and those involved with the Ryder Cup, why are you doing this against in the fall against football season? When a few years ago, you made the smart decision, if we want to get any eyeballs on our supposed season-long FedEx Cup playoffs and championship, we better get the tournaments done before Labor Day and people start watching football. Well, you know what? That still applies. Just because you're wrapping yourself in the American flag doesn't change that. Certainly not for me. You already acknowledge what my viewing habits are. Why do you think this is any different? Just because you wave flags, create a team event that only happens once every 2 years and claim it's significant? I would also claim it's not significant because it is acknowledged by virtually everyone. The most significant thing about any golfer's career is how many majors they win. Ryder Cup performance only seems to be used for players who don't win enough or fail to win any majors to support the argument that they're a great player. You know, Jack Nicklaus, I grew up, I thought their day. I have my grandparents to thank for what sports has meant to my life, both personally, professionally, being in shape, health-wise, so many things, people I've met. My grandparents obviously are number one when it comes to that, and I miss them dearly. I'm not sure if it's second, but running close to that was, and I'm sure this was shaped a bit while my grandparents let me watch and do pretty much what I wanted to do. The one thing I did that my grandmother didn't want me to do was wear the gear and be a catcher in baseball. And I remember when I did it one game that she didn't attend, and she found out later how disappointed she was in me. She didn't have a problem with me playing football. She had a problem with me catching in baseball. And that was her personal preference. And I did it once knowing she wasn't there. And she was very, very disappointed in me. I didn't get hurt. I remember the game very well, but it upset her. And I wish I hadn't done it. But three professional athletes in particular that influenced me heavily with sports when I was a kid. And I'm glad they're all still with us. I wish my grandparents were too. Jack Nicklaus, Julius Erving, Johnny Bench. For various reasons. And it's interesting there because there's no football player there because football wasn't as big of a deal. Granted, I was watching the Cowboys growing up. Loved Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, Tom Landry, everything about the Cowboys, how they were on every day at 4 o'clock Eastern time and became my team because they were always on. But even Staubach and Dorsett and Landry weren't at the level of Jack Nicklaus, Julius Erving, and Johnny Bench. He was born in Cincinnati, raised on the Big Red Machine, and baseball at that time was a bigger deal than the NFL. So independent of, it's a separate podcast talking about Dr. J and talking about Johnny Bench. Everything about Jack Nicklaus was worthwhile to me. And I've gotten to talk to him face to face while hosting a live radio show at the ESPYs. I did it 2 years that the ESPYs were in Vegas. And Jack Nicklaus in a tuxedo sat across from me, I also wearing a tuxedo, and I got to talk to the Golden Bear. It's one of the highlights of my career. Later years, I was around Jack for a dedication and event of sorts at the Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club here in the Tampa Bay area. And just being around him and his wife, Barbara, meant a lot to me. And Jack's meant a lot to me. Jack's career. The one thing that I kind of privately say, damn, Jack, I wish I hadn't done that. But I understand why I did. Jack saved the Ryder Cup. He did. There was a time where this event was so one-sided and was losing because it was a hammer and a nail. And Jack sensed it, that it wasn't doing, and this is before football was a big deal. And Jack sensed it and said, you know what? We might want to make the team that plays the United States a deeper talent pool. And it was because of Jack Nicklaus's suggestion that you now have Europe as the pool to create the team that plays the United States. Jack knew this might end up costing the U.S. winning every year, but what's the point of winning something if no one's paying attention? So it worked. Big surprise. Something Jack Nicklaus did worked. And if it wasn't for Jack doing that, this event may not even be happening. There wouldn't be a President's Cup. There wouldn't be a Solheim Cup, thanks to the three of you who actually know what that is. A turning point also for me in it was in the years that I did work for the PGA Tour, for PGA Tour Entertainment, and I broadcast live golf events, either on radio or online. Or I did, I'll always remember, I did a world feed for television for a World Golf Championship event. And it was a big deal for me at the time. Basically, for the first time in my life, I was kind of in that role of there were people watching a televised golf event of real significance, and I was your play-by-play announcer slash traffic cop. And I did it on a Saturday and Sunday as a fill-in for someone who had a wedding to go to, the great John Swantech. And I remember either on Saturday or on Sunday, I knew I was doing what was called the World Feed. The event itself always aired on CBS with Jim Nantz doing play-by-play. And I remember saying during a break just to my producer, it was just a side comment. I said, I know we're doing the World Feed. So who's actually watching this? And it wasn't a negative. And basically the director came back into my ear and said, everyone watching on television, not watching in the United States. And I was like, oh, okay. So I had a big audience then. And I felt good about the job I did. It was a heck of a battle at Firestone between Mickelson and Vijay, going back about 20 years or so. But most of the events I did with the PGA Tour were the beginning of PGA Tour radio, play-by-play, on then just XM radio. And they were, even when I was hired, said, we're trying to figure this out. Are you sure you want to be part of this? And I said, yeah, I love golf. And the pay was fantastic. It was. It was phenomenal pay. They asked me what I felt I was worth. I told them, and they paid it. Now, in the end, that probably was why they stopped me there. But I remember doing, I was not their main play-by-play guy. I only did a handful of events, but I also did a handful of events walking the course, reporting on golf, and doing interviews. Because the main play-by-play guy, Jay Randolph Jr., was doing those events. And Jay was really good and very nice to me, and so was his dad. So I remember one event, I'm in the tent, and we're either in a break or it's prep, and I remember a female producer or coordinator, who also was always very nice to me, said something to Jay Jr. about his sizes for clothes. And Jay was answering the questions about, like, pants and just naming a bunch of things. And I remember just saying out loud, Jay, what do they need your sizes for? And he didn't look up from his prep. Very matter of fact, said Ryder Cup uniforms. And I didn't even respond because I knew the temperature of the room. At that moment, it confirmed to me the Ryder Cup is a golf infomercial. And that's the way I have viewed it ever since. By wrapping itself in the flag, by stubbornly playing in the fall, by playing a format that is not majors nor in any PGA Tour event, team play. They're trying to promote the game. And when you have your radio announcers wearing the same sweatsuits as the players and the captains, to me, that crosses a line. You're part of the infomercial. Someone who has played in my golf tournaments and even his own successful golf tournament now just posted on his Facebook page either best golf weekend of the year or best golf event of the year earlier today. I just clicked the little X that makes the post go away. I didn't comment. I didn't unfollow. It's just like, no, I don't agree with this. I've been to 7 Masters. Jack winning 6 of those as part of his 18 majors. To me, is one of the most significant things in golf. Everything about Jack winning 18 majors, 6 green jackets, winning in 1986, connected to the Masters, and me, I followed Jack, very proud of this. Jack's last competitive round was 2005. It covered multiple days. It started on a Friday, then rains came in, and was completed on a Saturday morning. He actually started the round on Friday on 10, completed the round on 9 on Saturday. I was with him every step of the way except the 5th hole. For some reason at Augusta, I rarely walk number 5. It's my break. I go, I use the restroom, I buy concession items. There's a little area to the left of 3rd green, left of the 4th par 3, left of the beginning of 5, and then I go pick him up on 6. But I walk with Jack every step of the way. I still can't believe I did it. And he saw me doing it. Because at times, until the last couple of holes, people didn't realize this was it. Literally between me and Jack was the rope. Not every hole, not every step, but enough. No credential. I had a paid ticket. That came from my childhood. That if Jack, if this is going to be the last time Jack fills out a scorecard at Augusta, damn it, I'm walking with him. And I did. Because that mattered. That was significant. Everything about the Masters flies in the face of what you see at a Ryder Cup. Now, the Augusta National Golf Club, I'm sure, supports what the Ryder Cup does. At the same time, they couldn't be more different, which is also why I have complete apathy for the Ryder Cup. There's nothing about it that connects with me. And if you want to put together a team event and make me watch, give me the PGA Tour, captained by Tiger Woods, against LIV Golf, captained by Phil Mickelson. And if you give me that team event, based on the current climate of golf, you can play it any day, any weekend, any month you want, against virtually anything else on the sports calendar other than the Super Bowl. And obviously you're not going to be able to do that against the Masters. And I will not only watch, I will likely attend. I don't think there's a chance we get that. But if you're looking for a team event where the time is now, where it can go up against football, and true golf fans think, oh, I need to watch this. Tiger captaining the PGA Tour versus Phil captaining LIV Golf in a weekend team event. Just tell me when and where. And you got me. Because the Ryder Cup, I got no time for you. You're not significant to me. It's funny to me, Jack saved you. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Plantation Palms Golf Club. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Hope you enjoy your weekend.